I just had the most devastating thing happen to me.
What? Just now?
Yeah. Just now. So, like, you wouldn't know anything about this joke, and you shouldn't, okay? You shouldn't. Although you probably do because, you know, you've got a loving home and some parents taking after you.
It's true,
probably,
I do. Yeah, I do have a loving family, yes.
I know. They're probably making sure that you've got a family doctor. Simon, you're my age. Do you have a family doctor?
No.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's, it's the holy grail, right?
Yeah.
Is someday just, like, how do you get it? You got to be an adult. You got to. Yeah.
Well, I'm out of it now, but I just left it, like, a couple months ago.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You didn't find it. This was gifted.
Yes.
This, you were a child, and so your parents were like, our baby has to have a doctor.
Yes, yes, that is true, JD.
That's not the situation Simon and I are staring down.
Yeah.
We are in the transition of being young to old. Every day that goes by, I'm like, oh crap, this is really happening. Whether it's a little bit more winded running up a staircase, or actually, you know what I really get with stairs is I love running downstairs. It's just been a thing I've done my whole life. I've always run downstairs. And I keep going, now I start thinking about it where I'll be like, don't get hurt, buddy.
Be careful.
Yeah. It's just stairs. And I'm like, don't go too fast.
I've got that sweet thing now where just like I wake up sometimes and I'm like, oh, cool. Now like my ribs hurt for some reason.
Yeah.
Is no idea why.
The angel of death?
Yeah, exactly. Am I dying?
Yeah. Hello? So I have a buddy and I saw him last week and he's moving out of town and he goes, he's going to a doctor's appointment. He's like, yeah, I got to wrap this up and make sure everything's done here with this doctor. And he goes, you should see my doctor. When I leave, I will tell the doctor that I'm out, you're in. And I go, oh my God, is this how it happens?
Substitution.
Is this how it happens?
Finally.
Am I getting a family doctor? I remember it today. I think, oh, right. Let's check in on Mike, see if he did that. I text him and he goes, here's the number for the doctor's office. They know me. Just see if you can set an appointment. I was like, that's not what I was expecting. I could have done that. Google a doctor and call them and start saying, I know a guy named Mike who goes to, like, what are we doing here?
Hey, you guys know Mike?
Yeah, so I'm crushed. I thought I was going to live a long, healthy life for a leading moment,
yeah,
and
not.
Now I know I'm toast.
Yeah, you had a good run. Cooked.
Now I just know that I'm waiting basically to pass out somewhere and then just wake up in a hospital bed and they go, you got like 3 hours.
Leafs are playing at 7. You'll see the second period.
You got anybody you want to call? We already did your emergency contact. It's all good. It's over. Okay. So, yeah, Leafs tonight, Sabres. I'm really excited for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who does the Leafs post-game show, Leafs Talk, subscribe and review,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you that lately that's not how I've been feeling waiting for these games.
Yeah.
Ryan O'Reilly, the first game, him and Achari stepping in, I went, ooh, this is going to be fun. But lately it's been a lot of Blackhawks and Blues and, nobody's. The Habs. Just what are we doing here product. All of a sudden, in almost an annoying way, because the East is just so much better than the West, there's a couple teams in the Atlantic that are creeping up.
Mm-hmm.
Last 10 games, Detroit, 7-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, those Red Wings, old Stevie Y, doing his magic pixie dust. Everyone went, why did he sign Chiarot? And guess what? Stevie Y, still the best GM, still the number one guy that you would want in hockey. Absolutely no question about it, turning around that Detroit team already.
Yeah.
But the team above them, the team that's 4 points out of the playoffs right now,
mm-hmm.
the team that I've been sneaky liking for quite some time.
For sure.
Like a lot of people have been sort of sneaky tracking. In the playoffs by points percentage,
mm-hmm.
they've got a bunch of games in hand. The Buffalo Sabres, they are facing the Leafs tonight. And, okay, Toronto's a better team than Buffalo. I think we know this, but this is why I'm excited. Number one, Austin Matthews hates Rasmus Dahlin.
That's true.
Straight up. Hates him. Hates his guts. And Dylan Cousins, my son, blew him up.
Because?
Like, absolutely eviscerated him.
Yeah.
Absolutely eviscerated Austin Matthews, stared him down and was like, do something. I'm from the Yukon. You're Arizona. I don't care if you're 7 feet tall. You got no shot.
Do something. I'm from the
no
Yukon.
No shot.
We have to put that on a shirt.
Yukon versus Arizona. Like, you could get the whole state. No guns. It's over. You're done. 30,000 versus however many million you got, Arizona.
You have to trademark.
No shot.
Do something. I'm from the Yukon.
Golfers.
Trademark.
They're like, ooh, it's hot. It's warm out here. Better find some shade anyway. Dusted.
Yeah.
Absolutely eviscerated. The UConn legend, Dylan Cousins, freight training him over the middle. He's like 20 years old at the time. He's like, whatever. You got your grown man body. I'm just growing into mine. Still, boom, yeah. Done. Finished. Matthew's lucky to still have a career, honestly. Like a UConner puts you in the sights like that. Oh, lucky. I can tell you there's a lot of sheep that have not had the same luck in Dylan Cousins' life. Anyway, so yeah, there's some real tension between these teams. Mm-hmm. There's a little friction between these teams. There's also the matter of Buffalo has the worst attendance in hockey this year. 77% capacity every night. Awful.
Yeah.
Truly dreadful. A little unfair because Arizona, again, only has a place where they go. The capacity percentage, yeah, we sell it out.
100%.
It's, yeah, 400 people go up to these 26 games.
26 people in 2 days.
But okay, that's enough Arizona bashing. Yeah, all right.
We have to move on to Buffalo here.
Leaf fans are going to be able to take over their building the way that they do Senators fans a lot of the time. The way they do a lot of different places. Buffalo has always been a haven for this, but now, once expectations start to creep in and once the real fans start to feel the presence of that traveling Toronto party, Mariners fans have felt it.
Mm-hmm.
Western Canadian fans feel it. That's why. Why do you think, well, from a beyond coverage standpoint, places like Edmonton, Vancouver, and Calgary hate Leaf fans so much? It's because when the Leafs are in town, they take over their building.
They're always there.
And it really drives people nuts to have, in real markets, chance in your building.
Yeah.
Leaf fans love taking over. Leaf fans love sitting up at the glass. And you know what Leaf fans love doing in Buffalo is getting hammered. Getting completely blotto in Buffalo.
Boy, a couple hours down the road.
Yes, and making a bit of a scene. So Sabres fans are not overly welcoming, but there's a lot of seats for Leaf fans when we have these games. But the main things here is just the timelines. Is that if you look at Boston right now, I don't want to say this is the last dance. Organizations like the Bruins, they just have a tendency of finding new ways.
Yep.
But they still have Krejci, you know, late 30s. Bergeron probably retiring.
Mm-hmm.
Marchand in his mid-30s now. Like, there's core pieces of their team. Even guys like Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall is 31, 32 years old.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to become the Pastrnak team. They're still going to be solid. They're still going to be relevant. But my guess is that, yeah, they're probably not going to finish at the top of the Atlantic even next season. Not the year after, right? Unless the Allmark thing turns out that he's actually, you know, new Dominic Hasek and they just completely ride it out with him. The thing that I really like about the Sabres, they've got 520 goal scorers for the first time in 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And with those 520 goal scorers that the Buffalo Sabres have, let's just take a look at the ages. 25, 26, 27, 21, 30. And Rasmus Dahlin, the guys that are right underneath him, Mittelstadt, Dahlin, Jack Quinn, Peyton Krebs, like Owen Power, 20, 22, 21, 24, 22. They are just a team that has some guys that are all the same. They're top guys. They're stars.
Mm-hmm.
Tage, Tuck, well, Olofsson's not really their star, but he scored a lot of goals from them this year.
Yep.
But they're all lined up with the same age, essentially, as the Leafs core players. They've got a much better younger wave, which is probably going to allow them to go into the next, I don't know, 5 to 7 years. I think that's probably when you start to get 5 years. Yeah,
they have Cousins and Tage locked up for that whole time.
Yeah,
too.
They do, and that's great. But they have the next 5 years where it looks like they are going to be an annoyance. And I love the idea of these players, these young guys, hopefully staying in Buffalo, and the Leafs' young players or prime-ish players staying in Toronto and having hate build up between these regional rivals, having it actually happen in the regular season. Because I think the lesson that we've learned so far is, you can have playoff matchups and have these teams face each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Leafs faced the Bruins a couple of times. The Leafs faced Tampa. Now it's going to be 2 years in a row. Still doesn't feel like a rivalry.
Yeah.
These things don't get really manufactured that way. There's got to be that little bit of hate, that little bit of a bite. And I think the Sabres might have that. I think the Sabres have a little bit of the, we want to nip at your heels. Mm. And we want to be the annoying team that comes up and tries to eventually replace you before you've even really done anything.
Yep.
Like, we want to be the ones who take this role. We want to be the regional team that everybody is talking about. And they got a chance, right? Because, again, 4 points out of a playoff spot. And now they've got games this week against Tampa, Toronto, and Florida.
Mm.
It's kind of their Atlantic time to say, if they win two of those three games, as far as national media goes when it comes to hockey, because again, pretty regional sport, not too many people care about who's doing what unless it's McDavid related or a complete tire fire. It's basically, yeah, it's basically going to be something that's record breaking like the Bruins, a tire fire like right now in Calgary where they're going, holy crap, what happened?
Yeah.
Yesterday they played the Flyers. It was a must win game. I didn't even watch it because I went, oh yeah, they're definitely going to beat them. They have to win that one. And it's like 4-3 Flyers. I was like, what? I'm watching the highlights going, what is, and I keep texting Flames fans going, what's wrong with the team? And they're like, I don't know.
I
have no idea why they suck so bad. Anyway, I think the Sabres have a chance here. I think the Sabres have a chance to have a conversation about them. It starts tonight. And I really hope that Leafs having Ryan O'Reilly, you know, the guy that spurned away from the Sabres, the guy that fell out of love when he with hockey, when he was a Buffalo Sabre, now being in Toronto, that adds a little element to it. Matthews and his cross-checking history of Dahlin, like these guys have a moment. I can see it. I can squint. I can see it. And I think that what we have here is the Sabres might represent what we hoped the Senators were going to be this year when they had the summer of Pierre that has turned into, you know, the reality of Pierre, which is, I won't say actually anything more because he's my next guest, good buddy.
They've been winning lately, too.
Yeah, buddy.
They have been winning lately. Like,
they enjoy it because they're not winning during the time that they thought they were going to be winning. Matthew Barnaby, host of Unfiltered, author of Unfiltered. Your buddy Pierre in Ottawa. You guys got real excited down in the Ottawa region for this year, the summer of Pierre, and then it rolled into not so much. Your Sabres, though.
Yeah. How are you, buddy? I missed you. I've been thinking about you a lot in the last week. A lot. But yes, everything's well. Yes, the summer of Pierre is now the winter of Pierre. That could be the end of Pierre.
Yeah.
It's been a real different time for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
But, I'm well. Thanks, buddy.
That's good, man. At least, you know, it's always good when a house goes up for sale in your neighborhood and, you know, you get to find out the value of your home. So that'll be good for you with Pierre. You know, like, that'll be all right.
Yeah, I like that you draw parables knowing my wife probably owns a real estate company and the market is crap right now.
It's crap. The real estate market is crap. That's news to me. That's news to us non-homeowners out here who are like looking at, who walk by real estate windows and look at the prices of homes and go, who lives in these fairy tale castles? Who's walking by these windows with the listings on them and stopping and going, oh, you know what? I should buy one of these. No, it's a fantasy camp. It's like looking, it's like when I was a 14-year-old boy looking at a Maxim magazine, like the same shot. It's just like a pure fantasy. There's no part of this that is coming into reality anytime soon. Okay, so the reason you were thinking about me is you went to wrestling. You went to the Elimination Chamber down in Montreal, and you wouldn't stop texting me about how disappointed you were, and then you go on Twitter and you're talking about how disappointed you were. I got to tell you, I'm frustrated with you. You keep saying you don't get it. It's like when you go to a play, or if you've ever been to a play, do you think like what you're seeing is real? Like when you watch a movie and you see like, you know, Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, are you sitting there going, boy, this is crazy that this guy can jump on a plane and hold on to it as it takes off into the air and then break into it? Like you have to suspend belief. You have to buy into it. And I feel like you never gave it a chance. You were DOA.
First of all, I have never, ever seen a Tom Cruise movie where he's hanging on a plane or Nicolas Cage, where the plane is off and he's in the air hanging on.
He did that in the last Mission Impossible. Tom Cruise did that. He's his own stuntman.
You know how long I lived? I was in that movie theater for Mission Impossible about 4 minutes and I left. It was
God, the worst guy ever, honestly.
Back in the day. It was horrible.
Make me sick.
Sci-fi movies.
Sci-fi.
Unrealistic. I hate unrealistic action movies because they are stupid. I feel like I'm having the same conversation I had with my wife Rhonda yesterday. She just said the exact same thing as you. If you go next to the whole.
So yeah, Rhonda, the person that's much smarter than you made the same case as me, and then you're there going like, anything fake is bad. That was your side of the argument. Nice.
You and Rhonda deserve each other. You guys should go out together because you have such unrealistic and just ridiculous takes. And she said, next time I go to a play with you, the whole 2 hours, I'm going to yell this, I don't get it.
Oh, God, I would have been so mad at you sitting there. Like, I feel sorry for her that you would have sat there the whole time going, I don't get it, repeating it over and over and over again. Oh, my God, that's a nightmare, dude. I would have actually not sat with you. I would have let you do I don't get it for like 15 minutes max before I was like, yep, see ya, concourse for me, and then standing in an aisle somewhere as ushers keep going, sir, you can't stand here, and then me just migrating further down and standing somewhere else. No, dude, live wrestling truly one of the greatest experiences that you can have as a fan of sports entertainment. I don't understand watching it on television every week. Like, that's a bit much for me, and I have friends my age that still do that, and I go, oh, yeah, you know, teach their own. I watch some questionable things. Not really. I have beautiful taste in television, like immaculate. I really do. Like, if I give you a TV reco, you better take it, because you just got blessed by a television-loving God. But wrestling live, the atmosphere, the energy, the chants, the crowds, the being able to boo a heel or root for the heel amongst you, I thought that's what you would have embraced. I would have thought that people booing one of the heels, that you would have got into that and played the other side, because that's always a great move right away. And you do like to be an agitator. It was perfect for you. It was right there.
I have to apologize. I was an ass. I'm not going to take 3 hours of
now, you know,
annoying, and I know I'm relentless. And then you throw a couple Coors Lights into the mix, and it was just relentless.
Yeah,
how ridiculous it was. Now, I'm not going to apologize. I watched.
You did already. You too late. That's the best.
It was nonstop. These people were into it.
Yeah, I do.
I met people there that were there 3 days in a row.
Yeah,
like,
sweet.
Man, save some of your money. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. But and even a further fuel to the fire.
Did you buy a T-shirt?
The wife's hall pass is Roman Reigns. Like, and then she got a chance to go see him. I'm like, she'd be calling me Roman for the next week while we're in Mexico. Yeah. Well, I'm in Mexico, by the way.
You wish that you could ever even be a placeholder for that. No chance. Did you buy a T-shirt?
I don't even want to go there.
Did you? You buy a T-shirt? I told you buy a T-shirt and get into it. Did you even try?
To watch that T-shirt?
No, did you buy a T-shirt? Did you even try? Like, did you even try to get into it?
You know what? I tried to go on Amazon and buy one, because I was going to go old school, like Randy Macho Man Savage, and bring back my youth when I was 12, because that's when I stopped watching wrestling. So for all those listeners that watch wrestling, also follow me. You got to stop following me and then stop tweeting at me. But no, I didn't buy a T-shirt. I knew it was just a waste of money.
You couldn't at least, okay, here's my last sort of half plea for you with this. You're a big gym guy. Like, you work out a ton. You're someone who, you know, you still regiment it, where you go on vacation and, you know, you'll go out for beers and you'll still hit the gym next day, right? Like, I'm not built like that. I don't have that in me. Like, it's just, if I drink, then I'm the closest thing I'm getting to the gym is what I'm having, right? Like, a sports drink the next morning, I'm like, yeah, I'm getting hydrated, you know? Like, that's the only thing even resembling a gym that I'm coming close to. You couldn't at least appreciate that these people, like, they're traveling every single day. They're just on the road, new city, multiple times a week, still grinding out the gym that way, still showing up with that kind of body, like those kind of bodies where they're just like all basically shredded acrobats. That part of it, at least, you couldn't even get down with?
I will give you that.
Thank you.
To do that to your body day in and day out, They are athletic women and men. That I will give to you. And just the abuse your body takes. Like, if I walk down the stairs wrong now, I'm done for a week.
Dude, we were talking about stairs earlier today. They're the devil. You got to be careful on those stairs, old man.
Oh, yeah, no. But we were staying in the same hotel, because we were right beside the Bell Center. And the next morning, I don't know which wrestler I was in there with, but he was in there with his wife. And they were going down to the gym. I was like, oh, my God. Do I feel a lot less like a man right now? This guy was jacked.
Yeah. You should have given him some of your takes. You should have been like, I don't get it. To him at the gym. He just smoked you with a barbell. We'd be reading about you on the news.
And I was even about to say, you know, hey, let's do this for real.
Let's do this for real. That would have been famous. Dude, honestly, that would have been hilarious. There used to be, well, I'm sure it still is a book, but there used to be a book that I would read as a little kid called The Darwin Awards, and it was like the dumbest way people died. Like guys putting jet engines on their trucks for speed and then forgetting to like account for the brakes, you know, like that's like the braking system. And you would have been in that book, like famous last words, Matthew Barnaby, let's do this for real. 1 minute later, just broken on some kind of a gym equipment. Okay. So let's jump back in the Leafs here, buddy. They make a trade while you're gone. They make a trade the night before you're at the wrestling event. They get Ryan O'Reilly. Yeah. What do you think about that move for them? They get Achari too, but yeah, it's called the Ryan O'Reilly trade. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it is. Achari's a good player. They need to fix that fourth line and have some depth in that bottom six. But it's all about Ryan O'Reilly, and he's been there, he's done that, he's won a Stanley Cup. We all know the leader that he is, and especially since going to St. Louis, I think that's elevated. Obviously, winning the Stanley Cup, but also winning MVP of the playoffs. I mean, you win a Conn Smythe, you walk in automatically with that clout, and he has that. So I think the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Well, Kyle Dubas isn't standing on his knees. He went out and got someone without breaking up the Big Four, and he's added to that team. They're a better team today than they were a week ago, and that's what you want. And, I can't remember who said it, whether I think it was John Tavares that said, when your GM goes out and makes a move like this, it just fuels you up. It shows the belief that he has in the group that he's adding to it to try to win a Stanley Cup, and that's all you can ask for. It's a hard thing to win, but these guys haven't won a playoff series since The Notebook was number one, I think. It's been a long time. So I love this move for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So do I. I'm a huge fan of it, and I don't, it's going to be weird because my guess is, this is just a guess, but people nitpick at it during the regular season down the stretch here that maybe Ryan O'Reilly doesn't fill stat sheets and maybe he ends up down on the third line for a little while. He was a dash two the other night and he comes into the Leafs organization, I think minus 24 on the season, something like that with the Blues, somewhere in that range. It wasn't very good. And I could see him being someone where people start to go, hey, was this the right trade? Was this the right move? And then come playoff time, everyone goes, oh, actually, this was totally the exact guy that they needed. So I guess that's the question. When you're talking about the insanity thing and doing things the same time over and over again, well, they're going to face Tampa. That's basically a lock. How much more belief do you have that they can beat them in a series now after this trade?
Well, I, when you get to the playoffs, it's a different beast than the fact that guys that have been there before don't have the nerves. And I'm not saying a guy like Austin Matthews, that hasn't got beyond the first round, or Nylander, or any of those guys. But there's pressure on those guys. And you bring in a guy like Ryan O'Reilly that, he's been there, he's done that, he's won that. And I just think the pressure is different. You're able to, the ebbs and flows of a playoff game, a playoff series, it changes really quickly. And I just think a guy that's been there before and that experience that he's had, those nerves aren't going to be as much as guys that haven't been in that position. So I think that's the power. He's a good player. He can check the other team's top lines. He can add to a power play unit. There's so much he can do, but it's all about the experience. And I we can nitpick him, be minus two and this and that. It's when it gets playoff time, this is a different team. And, yeah, they can beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. They certainly can beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. You need good goaltending. You need things to go right. And there's a lot of things that go into a playoff series. But they're better equipped to beat Tampa now than they were a week ago.
How good do you think the Sabres are?
I think it's the polar opposite of Toronto and I'll relate back to Toronto because that's where the listeners are from. Mm-hmm. This core group of young studs in Toronto, they've had these failures and they've heard this over and over. The Sabres core team is younger right now, but they haven't had the past failures of the last 11, 12 years of not making the playoffs. This they're like, hey, that's not us, man. Like, Dahlin's in there a couple of years, but he's a young kid. You can't expect him to to Leeds right to that next spot. To me, this is the first time this group is really competing for a playoff spot, and they're right on the verge. Are they going to make it? I'm not sure. I heard you right before I came on about their week. This is a big week. I'm not saying it's make it or break it, because there's a lot of games left and a lot of runway either way. But this is a statement week for them in a regional kind of market, unless there's a tire fire, like you said. This is a Buffalo thing, and I know people in Buffalo are pumped, and they need to be because it's been a Bills market for the last 5 years since Josh Allen has entered the league. So this team's good. This team's fun to watch. Are they a playoff team? I'm not sure yet. We'll see in the last 30-odd games, but it's complete polar opposite of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Dude, this might not be a good one for you, but I know that you stay connected to the Buffalo region obviously really well. Why is that team last in attendance when they're young, fun, loaded, like, and they are a sports market where you just said it. They just had a year where they supported the hell out of the Bills. It's kind of weird to see them at the very bottom of attendance this year. I don't really get it.
Yeah, and when you get to the Stanley Cup playoffs and you start seeing numbers in the States, like, they're always number one. Let's just say Detroit's in the Stanley Cup final against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, number one is going to be Detroit in that area. But Buffalo hasn't been, they're always number one, besides the team that's playing in it on the American side in viewership. People want to see a playoff team. Mm-hmm. Like, they're spending their money towards the Buffalo Bills because they're having success. And it's been over a decade since the Buffalo Sabres have been in the playoffs. And people are fed up. People are fed up with the rules and decisions that they've made and just the lack of winning. So I think they're show us you're a playoff team. But I do know, in speaking with a lot of people from Buffalo, that they are excited. They are watching. Just they've spent their money in other spots because the Buffalo Bills have been so good.
I get that. All right, last one. How much did Sabres players hate the Leafs convoys that would come down and watch the games and start to take over the rink?
Oh, hate it. Hate it.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than being in your own building. And you could probably talk to Ottawa Senators fans when Leafs come to town. It's cheap to get a ticket there. Montreal Canadiens, when they come into town, the ole, ole, ole.
Yeah.
It's hard. Look, in Buffalo, 23% of the, I believe this was the number back when, are Canadians. We play the American and Canadian national anthem in Buffalo because of all the Canadian support that you get. But man, it sucks when you roll in on a Friday or a Saturday night and there come this Toronto Maple Leaf faithful just arrogant walking through the door because they've always predominantly been a better team. It's tough. It's tough when the chants start going on when they score a goal. It absolutely sucks. But it also serves as motivation to those guys because they're like, screw this. But it's a tough thing being taken over in your own ring.
Yeah, that's why I always begrudgingly really respected Ryan Miller. Is he was a top-end Leaf killer, just a Leaf murderer for the Sabres. And then he would talk that talk after the games. And he would say that there's nothing he likes more than beating the Leafs. And I would go, as a fan, you're like, I hate you, but I sports hate you. But deep down, you go, man, I wish my guys would say stuff like that. You know, I wish that somebody on the team I'm rooting for would step up and say, yeah, we like sticking it to those guys. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for here is, like, I think that this is a good cocktail. Ottawa has it, too, because there's the big brother, little brother thing. But it worked so much better when Ottawa was the better of the teams. And then Toronto kept snatching them. And I don't know if we'll ever kind of recapture that exact formula that was there, especially given, you know, Toronto was the tougher team. Ottawa was the more finesse team.
Yeah.
It's just different era, you know, like it's tough. We keep looking back and going, I want that again. I want that again. I don't know if it's going to happen. I do feel as though there's real potential with the Buffalo thing. Like, I really think that we could see the next three seasons where it's these two teams. Like, these are the ones that you circle on the calendar, and especially the ones like tonight that are in Buffalo, where there's that added little energy in the building of, hey, it's not the rich Toronto crowd. It's the Toronto fans that are making the journey to get drunk and watch their team and talk a little trash, and hopefully the diehard Sabres fans that show up and, like, defend their team. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's all about rivalries. You said it with Tampa and Toronto fans. There's no rivalry. Tampa doesn't consider Toronto a rival yet. Mm-hmm. Tampa's won, and Leafs haven't got through the first round since
exactly.
2004. And I'm a New York Jets fan.
Yeah, I know.
I'm in the AFC East with New England and Miami and Buffalo. We don't have a rivalry. We're at the bottom every year. Yeah. Until we're relevant, we're a playoff team year in, year out against these same teams. Well, I don't have a rivalry. There's no team I get up against and I wake up on a Sunday and I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait to destroy these guys.
Yeah.
I'm just praying that in the fourth quarter that there's a relevant snap and I'm not seeing the third quarterback come in.
Yeah.
We're down 42-16. So
and you do almost every time.
That's the best.
Yeah, and Elva, it's like you're always like, please no, not the third string quarterback. And then you have a week where you're like, is Mike White the guy? So tough. Is he the future of the organization? Is he going to take us to the playoffs? No, not a good one. Hey, Barney, again, congrats on the book, buddy, Unfiltered, for anybody that wants a lot of Barney stories. Really good. Go out and get it wherever books are sold, Amazon, wherever. And then, the Unfiltered podcast. But if you're a wrestling fan, he just told you, don't buy it. hates money, I guess.
Don't let this joker on the radio trick you guys into spending your well-earned money at wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, put it on his book. All right. Talk to you later, buddy. Thanks.
Cheers, buddy. Bye-bye.
Okay, so the Sabres, what he just said there, I think that's really important, and that's where teams make mistakes, is when a front office – they feel that quote-unquote pressure to make the playoffs because they're trying to grab an audience. If I'm the Sabres, this is why this week does feel sort of important and it is a bit weird for them. This is just how it works. If they go and win two of these next three games against division rivals, like they beat the Leafs tonight, mm-hmm. and then they, maybe let's say they lose to Tampa and then beat the Panthers,
right?
Which would leapfrog them over Florida in the Atlantic and probably put them in a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is we'll start to see things like, yo, the Sabres should be buyers. Hey, the Sabres have been out of the playoffs for a really long time. They need to capture momentum in the market and blah, 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 blah. I don't think so. If you look back on, I was thinking about this last night, and it's a weird thing to think about, and I try to remember how I felt in the moment versus what I felt, you know, later. But I also kind of thought about this at the time, too. So I'm really not trying to play this too much revisionist history. The Toronto Maple Leafs had something kind of similar. Granted, it was a little bit earlier than what the Sabres had. Like, again, I mentioned some of their main guys like Tuck and Thompson are 26, 27, I want to say, or 25, 26. Mm. I think 25, 26. Either way, they've got a lot of young guys. Darlene, Power, Cousins, a lot of their core, right? Krebs. There's no need to rush this with moving off assets to acquire what exactly? Like, if there was some more obvious stuff at the deadline that I would go, man, this would be really good for them, I don't think that they should be a buyer. And I think the Toronto Maple Leafs should serve as a bit of an example for them. The Leafs, when they were in the 2017 season, a year that everyone really loved because they made the playoffs and they pushed the Washington Capitals, who won the Stanley Cup. It's the most excitement, really, that this team has had in the playoffs, I would say. Because it was, nobody expected them to be there. They weren't expected to win.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, pretty much everything since then has been ugly, annoying, depressing, whatever.
Disappointing.
Yeah, disappointing. Their expectations came. But expectations came a little bit too early.
Yeah.
And the big things that I wonder, like hindsight's 2020, as you learned yesterday, Joe, for the first time ever.
I made that big
that
take.
Things from the past you might look at differently in the future is what Joe learned.
What a concept.
Yeah.
What a concept, boys.
But going into that year, a lot of people thought that the Leafs were going to trade JVR and Tyler Bozak, mm-hmm. that those two guys were going to be UFAs and that Toronto would deal them. And if we're looking at, like, again, apple in the Garden of Eden of things that went wrong for the Maple Leafs, it might have been the fact that they got into the playoffs that year and that they exceeded expectations so much that they actually ended up removing assets to acquire guys like Brian Boyle, who, yeah, had 3 points in 21 games. Sweet.
Better than two.
Yeah.
It's true.
There was no need for that. There was really, really no need for them to try to push that way that early. If you look back on it, again, hindsight. Fair if you want to make the case that, well, you wanted to have them have playoff experience, and that was a fair theory to have at the time, and why would you ever take away from these guys and send them that message, blah, blah, blah. Well, the playoff experience thing didn't really work out because they choked multiple times, you know? Like,
yes.
The playoff experience against the Washington Capitals, it turns out, had 0-0-0 impact on a team that choked to the Montreal Canadiens, who finished like dead last in the NHL the year after they beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in the North Division. It didn't really pan out in a series against the Columbus Blue Jackets, a team also in hindsight, was really not very good and that the Leafs should have probably eviscerated as well.
Yeah.
Didn't really turn out to make this team that was forged in fire.
Yeah.
That would win these big clutch games, because guess what? They've lost every single elimination game.
They just keep
going
back to the
same
round.
They've lost every single game with the opportunity to eliminate an opponent with this core.
Yes.
So, playing for that series with Washington, in hindsight, bit of a disaster. Who knows what they would have gotten for JVR, although he had 30 goals that year. He was second on the Leafs in scoring, and that's a premium commodity that time of year. Mm-hmm. He definitely would have netted them a first-round pick. Who knows what else? Bozak, maybe less. But again, a guy with 55 points in 78 games that year, almost 20 goals.
Yeah.
And a center. Like, those two things probably bring you some stuff back. And instead, you're the team that's trading for Brian Boyle. I think they gave up a second, maybe 2 seconds for Brian Boyle. I think maybe it was just the 1 second. I should have looked that up before I did that rant, but I didn't think I was going to do that today. Either way, I would recommend that the Sabres just play it slow. Don't do anything drastic this season. See if you make it. If you go on a run, great. You don't have to sell. Like, they don't have anything to really sell. Their roster is not the same with the Leafs, where you're looking at it and saying, boy, now would be the time where you would move off of player X. No, it's not really there. But unless there's something like a no-brainer, obvious, absolute, you have to do this once in a lifetime opportunity for them, which I don't think there is. You just stand pat and you roll with this group and you just simply say, don't worry. You guys do this. You guys make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We take a step. We're going to be ready to win. We're going to be ready to spend money. We've already just shown you with some contracts, like with Cousins getting his extension, but we will show you in the off season that, you know, we start to take that next step. We're not going to rush it, but then we will start to do things like move draft picks and move prospects to further supplement this core. Anyways, let's take a quick break. Let's come back and talk about, a team that is not like the Sabres, a team that does need to win now. That's the Toronto Blue Jays. Buzz of the extension nature from their camp. That's next.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Subscribe to the podcast. Leave 5 stars. Share it when you see it on Twitter. Or just take some initiative and do it yourself. We'll appreciate that. Apparently, Barney's Notebook reference wasn't so hot.
Yeah, like, you know, he said the Leafs hadn't made the playoffs since the Notebook was in theaters. They're just
waiting. Was he at least right? Do we fact check that?
I believe that's true, yeah. No, I believe that's true. Or, sorry, advanced in the playoffs.
Austin stat or real stat? That's a game for the future.
Austin stat or real stat?
I'm going to have Austin one day just write down a list of things he thinks are true.
the Notebook was released June 25, 2004.
Okay, yeah, that's so correct.
But they're just better 2004 movies.
Yeah, okay.
Anchorman.
Like, okay, good.
Dodgeball.
One. Yeah.
Napoleon Dynamite, which
basically
like
the end of comedies.
Yeah.
When did Superbad come out?
Hey, this one's for
out?
Pete, by the way. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, way to go,
I
Pete.
I like Harry Potter too.
Yeah. Okay, also for you too, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a Harry Potter's a generational divide between the fellas. Mm-hmm. If you're like,
Harry Potter was like the thing.
I think if you're under 30 years old right now, today, Harry Potter probably, in your terminology, it slaps.
Go ahead. Dude, okay, you're making me have to be younger than I am.
What?
Did you read the books at all, JD, or no?
Okay, I have it's fine. I read the first book to my younger brother during my parents' divorce. And I would read it to him, and then we finished the first book, and I said, all right, we're not doing this, man. You're already doing Pokemon? You're not doing this, too. Yeah. I was like, choose one of these two things. I was in the phase where everything sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? When those started to pop off, like I was 15.
So I hit it the wrong time.
Yeah. The only thing cool to me at 15 was leaving me alone while I listened to punk or hip hop and skateboarded.
Like, yeah, I was about to say skateboard videos.
Yeah. That's
Rodney Mullen versus Daewon song round two. Oh, my God.
You know what's funny? I actually tried to get that poster.
Oh,
recently
sick.
To frame. Yeah, I've been trying for my office. Like, that is a foundational thing in my life.
Oh, yeah, dude, I'm right with you. Like,
of course, of course. That's when you learned what something cool was. Yeah. You know, you went, oh, my God, this is my everything. This is what's important to me. You have no idea what it is, but that's your homework for tonight.
Oh, I'm just looking,
to watch that.
My eyes are just open. Man. That's all I got.
Trust me, Rodney Mullen had a real moment for Woo. Us olds Woo. Where it was the coolest thing that
us
ever
olds.
Happened to us. Yeah, it was the... A bomb. Anyway, yeah. It did spark a huge interest, that video, for me into skateboarding. And I was snowboard videos and the music that accompanied them.
Did you ever play Skate 3?
No. I played Tony Hawk, but I never played any real... I was never a video game guy.
True.
I got into video games when I was in college. And like right before, where I started playing against friends in sports games, and that was really fun. I got huge into Madden while I was in university.
Yeah, me too.
Like
yeah.
really into Madden. They had the hit stick, and you'd have like... Yeah, Madden, what, 05 to 08, 09. And that was like me and my roommates. There would be some straight up raging over Madden.
Oh,
there would be some rage quits, some spazzes. Like the house would get hot.
Yeah, we got in some chel fights for sure.
Oh,
me and the roommates.
Chel fights. Oh, yeah. Yes, 100%. When so the NHL game switched from when I was in the end of high school into university. Where they had the skill stick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm.
And so going from me being just a dominant presence, I was basically like Kobe in his final season. or you know what's a better analogy? I was Russell Westbrook, where it's like I used to put up numbers. You know, I was a phenom. I was an
triple
athletic
double.
Freak. And then they brought in the skill stick.
The game changed on you.
And I was the last to know. I sucked now, and I just wasn't the same player that I used to be.
The game changed.
The game changed. And the biggest point of frustration where I would rage quit in the skill stick era was they invented the stick lift.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And guys started stick lifting like crazy.
Yeah.
And I was a hits guy. Like, one of the reasons I was the man at the old games.
You drill anybody.
I had the timing down on hits. I was the Darius Kasparaitis of old Vince.
You're the Scott Stevens.
Yes, dude. Yes, 100%. Yeah. And I used to line the fellas up. Boom! Yard sale, right?
Dustin
Bufflin. And then all of a sudden, it was all about stick lift and, like, poke checks.
Poke checking, yeah. Oof.
And
that's what it is now.
And my friends would do it. My friend Ryan, especially. He was elite at it. And he would just always do it. And I would try to do it back. And then... immediate tripping or high sticking.
Yeah.
I'd never, ever time it out good.
Every time.
And I would just rage. And I was the guy I'd go for a dart and be like, do you think it's cool to do the same thing every time? That's fun for you? That's sick. No, that's sick, man.
So you're so good at this game, bro.
Yeah,
you're so good.
Oh, yeah, my goodness. You're the man. You, bro. You're the man. And then practice, and then, try to show up.
You're like alone. Yeah. It's 3 a.m, room dark. You're just like,
But I did, my practice did make perfect in Madden. And that's why Madden training camp was the best. You would straight up sit there and be able to play Madden training camp, and it would actually help you improve your skills.
Yeah.
And then the cool thing about Madden, I actually learned so much about football from playing Madden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've talked about this before with NHL and with video games. I knew the league so much better when I was playing video games because you knew everybody in the league.
Yeah.
And now there's guys where they'll show up and they'll go, I don't know who you are.
You knew the underrated guys too.
Yeah. The only reason I know basketball more than anything else or football of kind of who's coming up is that I watch those college sports, but I'm not watching, junior hockey. And like there's a kid from the UConn right now, Gavin McKenna, and he's a 15-year-old phenom. He's lighting up a tournament right now, and he's... He went first overall in WHL draft. I didn't even know about him until yesterday. I'm like, damn.
It's your new boy.
Oh, yeah. He's not my new boy.
Oh, yeah. We got the Cubs and then McKenna.
Yeah.
That's the rankings.
You better believe as soon as I found out about him, I sent like a million texts out to people being like, oh, we're coming. We're coming, baby. Man, Matthews is shaking his boots, eh? He's like, another
two
guy.
UConn guys. Two UConn guys.
Matthews, oh, no. He might retire, honestly.
He's going to go to Sweden just to avoid it.
Yeah, he's out of here. He's like, I'm done. I'm done with hockey. Back to baseball, Arizona thing. Anyway, we went too long with this. But, But how did we even get here?
How did we get here?
No, I have no idea.
There's the movies,
mm-hmm.
and then it went to eras.
Oh, yeah.
And then video games.
Oh, yeah, Harry Potter.
Ronnie Mullen versus Day One Song Round 2.
Yes. And then Harry Potter, then video games, then here.
That was a winding...
Skateboarding as well.
That was a winding road.
Yeah, we had skateboarding in there as well.
We did not need to we did not need to go there.
Good job, boys.
So it's spring training now, officially, mm-hmm. for the Toronto Blue Jays. Your Toronto Blue Jays. And the guy on the team who was third in Fangraphs WAR last year, he sat down with Gregor Chisholm, and he talked a little bit about free agency. And that man's name, for those of you that don't know, Matt Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tough one, man. This is really tough. Okay, so this is the quote that he gave to Gregor Chisholm. Quote, "I know the Blue Jays enjoy having me here, and I want to continue having me here. I know I want to continue to be here and be a part of this team. I'm sure conversations will be had along the way, but when I signed that 2-year deal, I was anticipating they would have to pay Bo and Vladdy and all these young guys. So I wasn't sure what to expect. I was expecting to get out of the arbitration system, not to have to worry about that. And I felt fortunate to have some security. I kind of always anticipated playing out the 2 years and seeing what would happen. That doesn't mean I'm not open to what could be a possibility, but that's not all entirely up to me." End quote. This is one of the weirder free agent situations that I can remember for the Toronto Blue Jays. Like, this is kind of the first tough decision they're going to have to make where I'm not, like, they brought in Semien, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty damn clear he was never going to be a Blue Jay for the long haul. And he got so much money that it was just, no, you can't retain him. And then with the other free agents, it was pitching, right? Like, they lose a pitcher, they replace the pitcher. That's pretty much the way that's gone. And even this offseason where it's like, okay, that sucks. You lose Ross Stripling, you replace him with Chris Bassitt. It's probably a better bet, much like the Gausman signing where you go, hey, you lose Robbie Ray. He's mm-hmm. a Cy Young winner. You replace him with a Cy Young caliber guy.
Mm-hmm.
This one is tough because they don't have anybody internally in the system right now who's ready to take over third base.
Yep.
This guy's one of the most important players to the team. I think he had 27 home runs last year, maybe even more. God, I got to start.
Last year he had 27 home runs.
God, I am a savant.
76 RBI.
Savant. That's right. Yeah. Whenever you're listening to this and you think you can do what I do, you can't. Just so you know, you can't. You absolutely cannot. But Matt Chapman, nobody internally that can really replace him.
Mm-hmm.
Free agency, not exactly stock full of guys that Machado is a free agent. They're not getting him.
Nope.
This guy's going to turn 30 in April of this year. So 31. The season that you'd be signing him up for as a free agent. And if you just look at the comparables and especially how much money got tossed around this offseason, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that this guy gets $100 million.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, I would say that that's kind of the floor-ish for this guy if he just replicates the season that he had from a year ago. I disagree with the analytic community that says that his defense has fallen off a touch. I just do. Like, the guy that I watched, maybe that's true, but the guy that I watched last year is still one of the best third basemen defensively in all of baseball. And now, with these new rules, the way that the shift is going to happen, it's going to be put an even bigger premium, you hope, or at least that's baseball's hope on defense. Man, you want Chapman to be on this roster, and you almost wish that he had another just like 2-year deal, right? That would be perfect. If he had 3 more years left on his deal, that would be perfect. But this is kind of the nightmare you get into with not having cost certainty with Vladdy. This is you have it a little bit with Bo, right? But not knowing what Vladdy's future is going to be, not knowing what Manoah's future is going to be financially, how you're going to shake out and give a guy like this a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not someone like you can pay and then if he ages poorly, you shift him into another position. Like, so much of the reason why he was third in Fangraphs WAR is, again, his defense. He can pop a home run. That'll probably age pretty well. He can still work an AB. He's still a really smart baseball player. He's a good clubhouse guy. He likes being here, which I think matters. Mm-hmm. This is why it actually is more important for a place like Toronto to get guys in, trade for guys, like unless they're Jakob Pertl, where they already know, but whatever. Certain guys you want to have in Toronto so that they can experience what it is like being here, especially in sports like baseball and basketball, where there's only one team. You know, there's only one Canadian team. This isn't the NHL.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I know that's not really a great take, but it feels as though he is a goner or a bad contract. Like, you're gonna either lose him too soon from the core of your team, which you kind of need him for, or you're gonna pay him and it's probably gonna bite you in the ass like pretty quick. I have a hard time seeing Matt Chapman at age 33, 34 giving you the return on the value for a deal that's gonna be $100 million.
Right.
If you look at this market that he's staring down, again, there's not much there at third base. There will be a team that looks at him and says, we are trying to win now, we'll pay for this. The question is that going to be the Blue Jays? Because they haven't really done that one before. They haven't done the, we know what we are, and we know what we're paying for, and we know this is going to be bad on the back end. I don't think that's what Springer was. I really don't.
True.
I think that was kind of what Ryu was, but that was a very different story. That was a, holy crap, we got nothing. We were planning on getting some pitchers, and we ended up with Tanner Roark, and we can get this guy too.
Yeah.
Anyway, quick break. Let's come back. Yeah, Rob Ray, former NHL forward, 19 seasons broadcasting the Sabres. I want to know what he thinks as a guy with boots on the ground about how this rivalry is going to play out. And yeah, how much pressure is on the Sabres to do something? A team that, by the way, maybe good boding well for the Leafs. Sabres are 17-8 on the road this season. 17-8-2. And they're home tonight. So guaranteed Leafs W. Quick break, Rob Ray. So yeah, lots of Sabres talk today. Because I'm excited. I like sports hate. Big fan of sports hate. Think that's what people get up for. Think that Leaf fans invading the Sabres rink, going down there to Buffalo tonight. Team that's been struggling with attendance this year. Team that is right there on the brink. Just got home from, this is usually a letdown spot for teams, but maybe not for the Sabres. They got the Leafs coming into town. The hate, a little bit of hate that's been between the two teams. They played an outdoor game against one another. Matthews took a suspension against this team. I got high hopes. Rob Ray watches a lot of games. Sabres analyst and former NHL forward. Hey, buddy, what's up? How we doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. So, yeah, does this one get circled on the calendar a little bit for you guys, too?
It always does down here. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that you don't come here more or, you know, we don't see each other more. You know, it's kind of crazy, and for us coming in, it's an ESPN game here tonight, so, you know, we don't even get to do the local feed. But, yeah, you know what? People get excited here over the Leafs. They like, beating them up a little bit when we can and gives a little feather in the cap, so.
Yeah, you're basically the authority on this. Like, I was looking it up when I saw, you know, you got announced the broadcaster again this year, this team broadcaster. 19 seasons broadcasting with the Sabres for you. 5 more than you were a player with them.
Yeah. Getting old.
Wild. No, isn't that insane, though? Because you had a long career with the Sabres, man.
Yeah, like, man. It goes fast. You just sit there, and you know what? You see a lot of these guys coming in here, and they're the age of my kids now.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the heck? So, but oh, well. Hey, you know what? It's great.
Dude, still
being able to be a part of it and do it, there's no better job out there.
Hell yeah.
No better job.
Hell yeah, man.
Easy. And now you get to hang out with the guys still. You get to be on the road. There's no better job.
That's great, man. I love it. I absolutely love it. And yeah, it does go fast. I got, you know, a 22-year-old guy in studio with me right now, and I was like, I can't relate to him at all. And I was like, 2 minutes ago, I was like, that's me. Nope, not anymore. Ancient. Anyway, so... you've seen basically what I'm trying to set up here is you've seen a lot of these games, right? Like, you know what this game means to Buffalo, and yeah, it's an ESPN game. They're kind of circling this in. Do you feel like we're on the verge of something between these two teams? Because I was setting this up today about just the age timelines of some of these guys. The Sabres kind of feeling like the little dog that's been at the Leafs' heel the last couple of years, not quite ready. Now the team's red hot. They've been winning a ton of games on the road. They come back home, and here's like this actual spotlight game against the team that they've had a couple of battles with over the last couple of years. Like, how big do you think tonight is to this group?
Well, I don't think our group, just due to their age and everything, and I think they have an idea that it was a little extra special game, but I don't think our guys really look at it that way. I think our guys look at it that they're in a position now, they're trying to battle for a playoff spot, it's a really focused group. So when you talk to them, it's not like, hey, what about, we like playing them. They don't get crazy like that. We don't get crazy like we used to in the past. He was like, you never slept for 2 days waiting for these games because you just wanted to get at it. A little different breed now, you know. So do they put that much emphasis on it? They will. They will. They'll notice the crowd. They'll notice, you know, the intensity level go up a little bit. But for the most part, I think it, for our side, I can't speak for the Leafs, but it's just another day at the office, and which is good. So they stay focused that way. They don't. If you watch this team play and be around them, there's no emotional roller coasters with them. There's no real highs. There's no real lows. They're just flatline right across. And I think that would be a big part of Donnie promoting, hey, it's a big game, but let's feed out the energy, but let's stay focused. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where they've done such a good job this year, is staying focused and staying on task and not letting that emotional thing get the best of them.
God, I'm hoping for the emotional thing, because as a guy who watches the Leafs every single night, oftentimes they don't really play with a ton of emotion. And so, pretty much one of the only times that we've seen Matthews really lose his cool was with Dahlin. And it just like seems like he hates that guy. He got hit by Cousins in that game. We're referencing it earlier today. There has been that little bit of emotion. And I actually think like a lot of today's game, what has been missing from it is... Yeah, I want to see guys who are not sleeping the two nights before. Like, that might be better for the actual team or whatever, the course of balancing a regular season that's 82 games, of staying level-headed and staying focused and not letting it affect you, the picture that you just painted there. But what I'm really hoping from these teams is that the next 3 years especially, that your younger players start to age into this a little bit more, that they start to hit their primes. And there's a little bit more pressure, I think, on the Sabres anyways to be good soon. When you've got guys like Tage Thompson, who are like 25, Tuck, who's 26, Olofsson, who's 27, Skinner, who's 31, I want to say, 30, somewhere in there. Like, they've got some players that are in their prime or rounding into their primes, and the Leafs are kind of in that spot. Just Buffalo has that next wave. And if these teams are playing each other, and then, yeah, Leaf fans are coming down in that building, and there is that juice, there is that spice, I really think that that is going to be really, really, really good for hockey in these regions, if this can happen, where both teams are competitive, but both teams don't like each other.
Yeah, well... All you have to do is allow them to play each other more often.
Yeah.
And that's the big problem. Just playing a couple, three times a year, that's garbage when you got a team that's an hour away from you or an hour and a half away, and that's all you're playing them. And, you know, having a history with it, it's, you know, I think it's crazy that we don't play each other more. And you know, who wants this? Who cares about certain teams coming in and from the West? When we played, you'd play Montreal and you'd play Hartford and all these teams, Boston, you know, 6, 7, 8 times a year. That's not even counting exhibition. And that's where the rivalry and the hatred, you know, that's where it came from. And it's just not able to be developed anymore. And I even think the new style and new mentality of the kid, you know, not coming up with the fighting and the whole physical side, I think that would be there even if you played each other more, because I think the fans – and the approach to the game would be something that would push that a little bit. And I just don't think having 2 or 3 games a year against each other really is able to develop that kind of, not hatred, but that emotion.
Yeah, man, it's funny you say this, because I was looking at the schedule ahead of this, because part of my rant earlier today was going to be about how many times the Leafs still played the Sabres this year. Just 2. I thought it was like 4. I was expecting these two teams are going to play each other a ton down the stretch, because I'm used to thinking that way too about the schedule. And it's just, the NHL has this ass backwards where they try to do this fairness thing of balanced schedule for regular season, but then what does it even matter when you get to the playoffs and it's basically set who you're going to be facing every single year, because that's where they try to force the rivalry is all of a sudden in the playoffs, where you go, okay, regular season actually doesn't matter because Leafs are playing Tampa. Basically, we know this 3 weeks into the season. Like, great job. I think you're right. It's another thing that they've just kind of really screwed up. So is there pressure on the Sabres, like a little bit to add? I was mentioning earlier again in the show that Toronto kind of had this point early on where they exceeded expectations with their young group, and then they added, and it wasn't a big add. They like traded for Brian Boyle, but they kept some of their guys. They didn't become sellers. Sabres haven't made the playoffs in forever. The market seems to have really reflected that with the attendance this season. Again, I mentioned some of the age of those players and the seasons they're having, trying to build off the momentum. If they go on a run before the deadline here, like they beat some of these teams, do you think that there's going to be added pressure for them to, yeah, be buyers come deadline time.
No. I think because, A, yeah, they are ahead of schedule, you know, what the game plan they have. And they have tried that too many times, you know, in the past, chasing it. And I think right now Kevin Adams and his management group have done an excellent job of, A, getting the cap under control, creating the depth of young players that we have in the organization. We didn't have depth in an awful long time as well. And, you know, they're playing well together. And I would think that right now, the way these guys are, if you're around them a lot, they're very tight. You know, they get along very well. They feed off each other very well. I don't know if bringing in something may disrupt that a little bit. And because Kevin and the coaching staff has put all the faith in the world into these guys, and they let them know that all the time, that, hey, we believe in what you guys are doing and just going to let you go. And Donnie coaches the same way. He'll lay down a game plan. If things aren't going well, he's like, you guys figure it out. You guys are the ones on the ice. I'll give you the game plan, but you're the ones that got to figure out the execution once you get out there. So I don't see him, you know, making something major. If there was something that came up that was going to be able to be on this team for a number of years down the road that they couldn't refuse, then yes. But not to go make a deal to make a deal to try to get in the playoffs, I think they're more than capable of getting to the playoffs, and they're more than confident with the group they have just to let it go.
Yeah, I think that there might be no greater sign of how tight that group is than them being 17-8-2 on the road. Like, yeah, this team clearly likes each other. I saw that a lot, and this is not that uncommon, but a lot of the guys on the Sabres took vacation together during the All-Star break. Like, it's just a young team where a lot of guys are kind of lined up doing the same stuff. I like it. I like what they're building, and I'm with you, man. I don't think you rush it. I think you wait. The problem is when you're at 77% average capacity and you've struggled with attendance this year, a lot of times you can get ownership groups or people that start to meddle with things and go, hey, push. We want this revenue. We want to try to get this fan base back. You're not worried about that at all? Like, why aren't people embracing this team a little bit better? Because, yeah, they're one of the most exciting young teams in all of hockey.
Well, our numbers have been better since the Bills have been done. You don't get those numbers here a lot of the times until the Bills are finished. And we have not played a lot of home games since the Bills have been done. We still got, 28 games left or something like that, you know, in the season. We've played some of the least out of anybody. So those numbers reflect that a little bit too early when you know, we're playing games on nights when the Bills are playing. And, you know, what are they doing? They're watching the Bills. This is a Bills town, and Sabres come second. So that makes a big difference. But people are more excited here now than they have been in 10 years with talking to the team and what the team has done and where they think it's going to go. And the enthusiasm is here. The excitement's here. The people will be there. And we haven't seen that for a long time. Like, we have not seen that for a long time. So I don't think they're going to feel the pressure of it. I think they've weathered the storm, and they're getting themselves into a good spot now where they're happy.
Tonight will be good for those capacity numbers. It's going to be a sellout. Guaranteed. Leafs in town. It's going to be a full house. And, yeah, I think it'll be a fun one. So I saw Darlene on Spit and Chicklets earlier this week, I think. Either way, there was something that I thought was really notable from the interview. He was talking about Tage Thompson, who's becoming, you know, one of the bona fide superstars in this league. How much do you agree with him when he says that he thinks a lot of his breakout is mental?
Yep.
What does that mean to you?
I think a lot of these kids now, a lot of the game is is more mental than anything. They all got skill. They can all skate. They can all do all the kind of things they need to do to play the game. But mentally, they're not the same as what it might have been, you know, in the past. And I think for Tage, A, getting off the wall, getting to center, getting to a place where a team and an organization looked at him going, you're going to be a big part of this. We have faith in you. We have faith that you can do this, was another one. And then I would say giving him the contract last summer and taking all that pressure of the world off his shoulders and saying, hey, dude, we believe in you, and what you're doing is great, and just fingers crossed it keeps going. And I think by taking all that away, I think it has made a huge difference with Tage.
Yeah. And damn, what a contract it looks like for them.
Well, you know what? You tie up some of these kids now, and down the road, it's going to, even the Dylan Cousins deal the other day, it's, you know, some people look at it early and they go, oh, but you know what? They could be laughing down the road. So.
Oh, who, you had people going, no, I was like, that kid is a stud. Like if his game rounds out, like the defensive side of it, I think that's already a fine contract.
I'm
also from Whitehorse, UConn, so I'm a much more bigger believer in Cousins, but like, yeah, I would say this could be just fine. It's good to have a UConn on the team. Okay, so I got one from your career that I do want to ask you about before you go. So when you get dealt to the Sens, it's right as Jason Spezza is breaking in the league. He's 19 years old. You're a vet. You're coming in. I don't know what you would have been like with the leadership structure of that group or how much interaction you would have had with him. I know that, you know, he was a guy that maybe wasn't as mature at that age as he ended up being pretty quick with that organization. But, yeah, I just wonder what your early memories of Spezza were and whether or not you did see signs of someone who was going to end up being a lifer in the game. The way that he is now already joining the Leafs front office.
Yeah. When I got brought in there, John Mockler, the conversation we had, there was two things. He wanted me with Jason Spezza and Chris Neal. And, you know, with Chris, because, you know, just similar style game and all that kind of thing and handling, maybe not being in the lineup all the time. And then on Jason's side, we were roommates on the road. And it was because he wasn't playing. He didn't play, I think, until partway through the New Jersey series when I first went there.
Yep.
And for being a young guy that, you know, used to playing all the time and not used to, you know, being out of the lineup, it was great. You know, conversations with him, telling stories about, you know, guys in the past of, you know, dealing with things like this. And he was really, really good. But the thing was, he took it all in as a young kid, and you kind of knew it the way he was, kind of giddy, but he was absorbing it all. Obviously, he takes it all in and you know, turns himself into an unbelievable, beautiful player, and you know, life in the business now. So yeah, I want to feel like Little had a little part of that, but also, you know, I think give John Mockler some credit too, realizing those situations were going to come up, and that was something you have to deal with, and he addressed it.
Yeah,
so it's, you know, all both sides could be very thankful for that and, you know, getting the chance to work with them. And then, you know, John Mockler realizing that these kids were special and he wanted to make sure that they were prepared and ready to go when the time came. And both of them, when they stepped in and played that year, did great. And, you know, they kind of blossomed from there and never stopped. So, yeah, Jason's a very good guy. It was a very good guy, and I know for a fact he appreciated what we talked about, and I'm just glad that he was going to was able to have a successful career.
Yeah, it was a really successful career. It's funny. I think we overvalue that at times as fans, the idea of, you know, the veteran presence, and teams have done that before where they've sort of made regrettable trades, and those are the ones that we tend to focus in on, and we go, oh yeah, a team really tried to bring in a veteran to help teach somebody, and did they have to learn? But that is, again, I don't want to sound like I'm just doing this entire segment harping on the new game, but it's harder to keep players around when they've hit their even like mid-30s to have those experiences and to be around those groups. And like, part of having the league get younger and younger, I do think that there is a little bit of a loss of stewardship because there are like fewer older players who are going to be around to provide that. And now, even if you're thinking about it, you don't really have that same opportunity to just kind of come in and know your role, because you might end up being off the, like, out of the lineup the next night. So yeah, I'm glad you ended up getting to do that. And he obviously still had that laugh at 19, right? You're making him laugh in the room, and he had that.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah.
He would be so giddy, and he was, you know, always had something on the go, and it would be like, Jason, come on, let's just go do this. Honeybee, I got it. Yeah, no, he was great. I appreciate Jason. He was fantastic. Actually, when I went to minors, when I came back after missing part of the year doing the TV and going back and finishing Ottawa, I went to Binghamton, and I wore Jason's number just to, you know, out of respect for it. So, yeah, it was good. It was a good experience. I'll tell you what, the greatest experience I ever had. Going back and going to the minors and going to a different team for a short period of time, it's it was kind of an eye opener, but it was good. It was a good way to finish your career.
That's cool, man. Hey, well, again, a long ass broadcasting career, one that I hope continues for even longer. Rob Ray, thanks for coming on today, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so my career is only going to be a couple more years because my attitude is really getting bad.
He'll be fine. He'll turn around.
No.
See you, man.
All right, guys. Take care, buddy.
Take care. Rob Ray, former NHL forward and Sabres TV analyst. Sounded fine. Attitude didn't seem so bad. Ease up on yourself, Razor. You'll be all right. Yeah, I can only imagine having how hard it would be to hang out with somebody like Spezza, who, like, imagine Joe had that laugh, how hard you would just be like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I get shot.
You're in the room. Let that be a lesson to you, all right? Where are you, Rob Ray's?
What? Oh, you guys are my Rob Ray's,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you get to be in the room, and then nobody, though, one day is going to be like, hey, Joe turned out to be great. And
if I'm
like,
Spezza, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I saw it day
if
one.
If I'm Spezza, I'm okay
we
with that.
I saw it day one. All right. Yeah. He's obviously got a good handle on his team. Feeling like they're going to be measured tonight. Again, I'll say it one more time. I do not want it to be measured. I want that bite. I want a little bit of that hate. I think Boston has always had it with Toronto. That's why those games have felt always pretty good. Mm-hmm. Is Boston seemingly has the we're pissed off that you guys get so much credit when we have sort of embarrassed you multiple times. And you saw what? That game was better because Marchand beforehand was doing his talk.
Just fired shots at everybody in the city.
Leafs don't have that guy. Yeah. But what I'm hoping is that the Leafs have a little bit of, it's not your time yet. That they see what's happening in Buffalo and they go, nah, not yet. Wait your turn. And before you get that turn, we want to establish who the dominant team is, who you have to go through.
We're going
to
go into your building.
Yes, and how much better we are than you right now. Mm-hmm. That's my hope. Anyway, I'm excited for this one tonight, and I don't want to say it's been a rarity this year, but it definitely has been less frequent than in years past.
Well, the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. And I also think, though, that Ray is onto something where, and I've always been against this, and you see this in baseball right now. Mm. Baseball is looking at fully balanced schedules and reorganizing the divisions and all this trash. And I'm going, why do you guys want your regular seasons to be worse? Like, if I think about this sometimes. I am obsessed with sports, so I watch it all the time. But there are so many, I'll sit there and reflect and go, why would anyone want to watch so many of these regular season games? Like when I'm watching Leafs Columbus on a Friday night, I'm like, what kind of a lunatic has to be doing this right now? Like, what is it that you're doing right now? Or why can't you find something better to do with your time? I'm not even talking about going outside, even. I'm saying, like, on your couch, the diversity of programming that you have now, the level that video games are at right now, like, it's so competitive. And the one cool thing about regular season sports is that you do play these teams a lot, you breed that familiarity, and you hate each other.
Yeah.
And I love it when they stack those things down the line where all of a sudden you play the team, like, what's better in football? When you go, these two teams are probably going to meet in the playoffs, and then they also have, like, that game for home field advantage in week 16.
Yeah.
That's the best, because then you know it's going to boil over in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Even if you look at the Leafs schedule, their second last game is against Tampa, and I went, I hope this is for something, so they end up having a little bit of an extra playoff game so something rolls over into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Leafs shouldn't be just playing the Sabres two more times. This shouldn't be the last time Toronto goes to Buffalo this year. How is that even possible?
Yeah.
How is that possible? That rots. So yeah, one of many, I don't know, 100 things that's wrong with the NHL right now. And I think this is pervasive across all sports. Regional rivalries are actually great come regular season. Yes, people want to be able to have an opportunity to see a star of another team.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that they should just be prioritizing a little bit in terms of making more Canadian teams, like, hey, find a way to have the Canadian teams play each other more. I thought the North Division would maybe unlock that a little bit rather than just twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
But so what if there is if you have a 1 year where you don't see, you know, Columbus,
Arizona, Anaheim,
yeah,
San Jose.
But okay, so what? They have the best star in the game. Like, do you really need it? You really need that stuff. The balance of the schedule, I think, has got a little out of control.
Yeah.
With these, just let that play out a bit more. I do want to see. The Atlantic Division is really nice.
Yeah.
Like, it is a great regional. It's good. Like, there are some real teams that you want to hate. If Detroit gets on the rise, Buffalo gets on the rise, Tampa and Boston can kind of stand pat with Toronto in that group. You got five teams really battling it out for postseason position. Yeah. Have it be awesome in the regular season, and they're only playing each other a couple of times a year. That's kind of a bummer. So anyway, figure
that out. I was just looking at, I know baseball started like backloading division games. So I was just looking at the Jays end of schedule or end of season schedule. They go Boston, New York, Tampa, New York, Tampa.
Yeah, but then they don't play all year long.
Oh, I know. But at least come September, you're like, ooh, okay, if we're chasing the Rays, like we've got two series.
They're all fighting each other for playoff spots.
Which is really good. That is a way to design it. Why not have that a little bit more?
Yeah.
Who's getting sick of going to those games?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who the person is that's going, wow, Boston's in town again? Ooh, no.
I'd rather go watch the Rockies.
Sabres are in town again?
Royals.
No. Yeah, like, who's doing that? I don't get it. Basketball, I actually understand because it's such a star-driven league.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to go see the stars of the game. So having a balanced schedule or more balanced schedule in the NBA, especially since, like, they got rid of – like divisions mattering time ago. So we're kind of in that cycle. It doesn't matter. Hockey is a regional sport. So have regional rivalries. Baseball is a regional sport. Have regional rivalries.
Yeah.
Football, national, but also hyper-regional. Have it be regional. Yeah. NBA is the only one that should be excluded from this. And everybody else kind of trying to follow suit of like, everybody's the same and parity and equal. And that, it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks. Hate is good. Chappelle knew. Hate. Anyway,
JJ's a big hate guy.
Dude, hate
in sports at least.
You know what though? There were times where there was like, I don't want to say if there's too much, but maybe like it's not like I would have been advocating for this like all through my life. I'm saying that's what's been missing in hockey, especially for a little while, is feeling like there are stakes in regular season games.
Yeah.
And part of that is being here in Toronto, where the regular season just has not mattered now. We are the worst market to be in for the regular season right now. The team can dog it on a lot of nights.
Yeah.
They're not a team that, unless they're playing with a ton of skill, that it's exciting to watch them because there's no secondary thing they do. They don't fight. They don't hit. They're not tough. You know, like it's not an entertaining product unless they're winning with that skill. And when they do that, it's awesome. It's awesome watching Mitch Marner take one off the boards the other night off a pass from Morgan Riley and just do it seamlessly and score a goal and cross the crease. That's a pretty moment.
Yeah.
That's a fun moment. But a lot of the rest of the game, they always say it, right? Big hit, big fight, big goal.
Yeah.
Those are the three things that get you out of the seats. Yeah, Leafs only do one of those things. The regional stuff for them should matter a lot more because, them going to Detroit, them going to Ottawa, them going to Montreal, those games
Buffalo.
Add to the regular season.
Yeah.
And then let it get into the playoffs where if you happen to draw one of those teams that you face them a ton this year and you do hate their guts because you're good and you cared about those games and they mattered more. So anyway, let's take a quick break and let's wrap up the show.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I'm really glad that Joe got into the Darwin Awards after I said that to him. Dumbest waste of time. This classic. Joe is my Google guy. There's one thing that I will never knock on you. Really good at Googling things.
Oh, thanks, man.
You're fast on the research. There's no question about it. Actually, we might talk a little AI today.
I got keyboard hands.
We need the chatbot AI. We got Joe.
Well, I beat it earlier this year. Remember that?
Yeah,
during the World Cup.
I would be careful with that.
Yeah.
I'd be careful talking that talk against AI right now.
They might be listening to me right now.
That would be, you know, I know you're a confident kid, but that might be a little bit too much hubris.
Yeah. That's a battle you might lose.
Well, 2023. Yeah.
Did you read any good ones?
So there's one
that you can actually share.
That I can actually share, yes.
Yeah. Let's see how good you are at filtering what is and isn't appropriate. These are the dumbest ways to die.
So there was one at Hans from Austria. Was famous for two things. Having the world's longest beard, which was 4 feet 7 inches, and then unaliving due to the beard. He tripped over it, fell, hit his head, and passed away from the beard being too long. And that was the end of Hans, unfortunately. Is that a good filter?
Yeah. No, that's a great one.
Okay.
That's a really good one. Here's my only hope. I hope someone saw it. I hope that this isn't just like they're like he couldn't have tripped over anything else. He, like that they're trying to put the pieces together, because that would be Yeah. That goes hilarious to horrible immediately, where you see some guy do that. You're like, oh my God,
he tripped over his beard.
And then you're like, hey, man, you okay? He's dead. What else?
There's one more. So a guy named Kenji from Tokyo was working at a plant in Tokyo that was operated by 50,000 robots. Mm-hmm. And he failed to completely turn off a malfunctioning robot that he was fixing. And due to the error, the robot pushed him into the grinding machine.
Oh,
that doesn't sound like a dumb way to die. That one sucks.
No, but
that's not funny at all.
That follows the AI thing. That follows the AI thing that we just talked about, where the robots...
That shouldn't even be in there.
It's one of
Kenji
the ones that...
Kenji had to go and work on 50,000 robots. Yeah. He made
Poor
one
Kenji.
Mistake and it killed him. And that's they're tough. Like, what an idiot.
Very
like,
thin margin
no,
of error.
That is...
The most insulting thing is
that sucks.
They mark him down as the first person to ever unalive by a robot. That's like his award. I'm like,
yeah,
come
that's,
on.
That's why. That's he's in a special category. That's not a dumb way to die.
No.
That sucks. Poor Kenji.
Yeah. I like that we're using the phrase unalive here. Well.
That's what I'm trying to make it as like, you know, clean as possible.
Yeah, is that PC for you in your generation? Unalive?
Well, I don't want to say like that's the internet thing to like avoid being like banned. Mm. Is saying unalive as opposed to like, you know, death, murder, whatever. I'm not kidding. Like that's the thing
right
on the internet.
After. Joe, shut up. Next.
I'm
so mad at you now.
Why are you mad at me?
Oh, no, live.
This is an internet rule that I'm trying to abide by.
That's rule. That's a Pete rule only. Anyway, if anybody says unalive, I thought you were talking about the robots when you were using that, like the robots are unalive.
Well, okay, that's also true. But I didn't even connect. Yeah.
That's what you were saying to me, but it's a thing that you have to follow
or else like the algorithm will ban you. This is not just a Pete rule. It's like if you want to keep your social media alive, don't say certain things.
Do the math. No, I don't care.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't even work there, but whatever.
Do the math.
Yeah.
You want me to toss one more
next?
In? Or?
No. Okay. You're done.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're done after that. You're in timeout.
So Jalen Rose over All-Star Weekend... said that the minimum you should spend on a haircut is $100.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got to know, are you an expensive haircut guy?
Definitely.
Are you a budget haircut guy?
No, come on.
Are you you have a barber type of guy?
I have a hairdresser.
There you go.
Shout out Rob.
Rob.
He is the man. You got to pay money for haircuts.
Yeah.
Some people
I was
don't.
Late to realize this.
Yeah. Some people don't. Because they have like very simple hair to cut. And basically like there's just the types where you can cut their hair and it always looks the exact same and whatever. Like even with those people, I'm thinking they're tall. I'm like, maybe I'm just not seeing what's going on up there. I think you have to spend good money on a haircut. $100 for the common person is outrageous. Mm. Like that's a lot of money, even though for women, like they routinely pay that and they're kind of talking to us going, what do you mean? Why is that so crazy for you to do that? It's because we have to get it done way more frequently. Like you gotta, for me, I'm in there once a month, maybe 5 weeks. That's about once it starts to get into, all right, this is starting to get into not looking great zone. And then haircut's always something for whatever reason I kind of try to put off like a day or two before doing it. And then I get it done. I go, why? I don't understand why. Like, it's one of those weird things where.
Doesn't even take long.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's just, you go, no, it's fine. And then you get a cut and you're like, no, this is fresh. This is awesome. Has there ever in the history of mankind been a guy that got a good haircut and wasn't like, this is one of the top 10 experiences you can have. So yeah, getting a good haircut, not cheaping out on it is crucial. You look so much better. They take care of you in a much better way. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go into a place and just like sit there and wait and like you schedule an appointment. Maybe they, you know, wash your hair, give you the warm towel afterwards, whatever.
Warm towel. Oh.
Warm towel on the face.
The warm towel is huge.
So nice. Yeah. So key. I also have like cowlicks. So I need to get a good cut because if they screw it up, then it can be like horrifically bad. But think about somebody who has a bad haircut and you go, why'd you do that? And they're like, I got a $20 cut. And you're like, that's so dumb. Or people who let their, you know, whatever. Some people let their significant other or somebody cut their hair. It's fine. They try to do it in the pandemic. Doesn't really work out. $100 is obviously too much for a guy every month, Joe.
Oh, my goodness.
But
I'm going back to
But
bed.
You got to remember that Jalen Rose, what's Jalen Rose's career earnings in the NBA alone? Jalen Rose earnings. Let's Google. I should have just let my Google guy get on this. What is it, Joe?
Jalen Rose career earnings. He's earned over $102 million.
Yeah. $100 to Jalen Rose is like less than $10 to you and I.
Yeah.
he is wealthy. He is very rich.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for a man, the realistic what we should be spending-ish amount is $35. That okay. range yeah. plus the tip.
Plus the tip. I was plus about to ask.
Tip.
Okay.
Yes, plus the tip. $35 haircut to $40 haircut, yes. I think is like very appropriate, very good. If you're trying to look, and I know I'm going to get the haters in the messages for this. I know that you freak shows who are out there getting, you know, buzz cuts and your wife's cutting your hair or like whatever. Your cousin, you go to a crappy barbershop where you think he's doing a good job, but realistically, why do you wear a baseball cap all the time? You know, like there's a lot of you freak shows out there that are going to be mad about that. But I think a $40 haircut is kind of the like adult male price.
Yeah.
That's the adult male price.
I think that's fair. I was yeah. a late adopter to like good haircuts, yeah. like the last time, and I realized
this
that
is surprising
I'm saying this.
Right now because like you are fully like mountain man.
I know.
Right
I'm
now.
Realizing I do. I am one of those guys that when the winter hits, yeah. like I do not get a haircut
yeah.
and the beard
full
gets very
beard,
long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was gonna say
yeah.
Simon right now, full beard, like hair rocking out of the toque.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen you no hat like the entire time.
You've well aware. Here. Yeah. Well, and so I do got a haircut coming up this week. So next week I'll come in fresh. I'll get to see. Yeah.
Next Monday.
But I do remember my last. Cheap haircut that I had. It was one of those moments where, like, you know, at the end,
no, I know,
holds up the mirror yeah. to the back of your head,
you're
and I was like, just like, well,
yeah, we all have that moment.
I made a huge
we
mistake.
We have to go through that.
Yeah.
We have to go through that. I
yeah.
used to go to one of those establishments where it's the $20 haircut
yeah.
and you have to sit down and wait for your turn.
Yeah.
And I used to go because there was one cute girl there. And I went in, and then there was a day, and it's not like, it's one of those weird things where you can be like, oh, I'll wait, you know, I'll wait for her.
Yeah.
And then it's like, they've asked you twice and she's still working on something. You're like, all right,
yeah.
fine. And I went in and this girl did my hair so dirty. She
oh.
was just slathering like whatever, gel paste, whatever in
just
there. To try
random
to,
places.
Just trying to make it look decent. And you're a prisoner because it's like what's done is done,
yeah.
right?
The but haircuts, you can't do anything at that point.
Well, usually when you're getting your hair cut too, you're just like, eh, where's this going?
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they finish it and like, this is a person that's cut your hair for the first time, which is crazy. Like, I
yeah.
can't believe I did this ever. Like, I put this in my hair in someone's hands like that.
A random
and
person.
Then she finished it though. She was just like slathering product in it, trying to fix it in some way. And she's like, what do you think? I was like, it's really good.
Well, what are you supposed and to I say to that question when
no,
they're like, what you, like, it look okay? Like, you're not going to say
dude,
like, no, it looks horrible.
Could you imagine the balls you would have to step up to the dish and be like, this is terrible.
And say, this is bad.
This is a horrible cut. I want my money back.
How much money would you have to be paid to say that? Like, if
well,
someone
this,
gave you
this,
a sum
you
amount.
Know what's so funny? Austin's probably like, that happened on Impractical Jokers, and that was that. Like, did it?
And Q had to refuse the refund.
Yeah, exactly.
He has the story instantly.
I was just going to say, that sounds like an Impractical Jokers thing that
yeah.
you have to do, is this haircut's terrible because it's such an awkward social moment. Anyway, yeah, I think you should pay $40 for a haircut.
Agree.
As a guy. As
plus
a responsible.
Tip necessary. Yeah.
Yeah, and a good tip. That's one of those things that the tip should be good.
Hey, I say this reluctantly. I don't know. I think I used to just tip my hairdresser a set amount. And I know I can do this, but he put in the system where you press the button for the percentage and it's just there. And I don't like stumbling to and I want to go.
You don't want
like,
to take time, yeah.
And now I'm actually tipping him less.
Oh, just for the ease of
hitting the button.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just, I'm so used to it.
Oh, yep.
It's like, I know when I'm touching those things, it's like, that's why.
It's like muscle memory.
Well, that's why they get you at those places where it's like a bakery and they're like, I handed you a muffin. Will that be 28%? You're like, no, it will not. It will not be. And you got to search for the no tip option. It's like the smallest button. It's like, are you sure?
It's like a pixel in the corner. Like,
you do the no tip option?
On baked goods and things like I go to the store
for. I can never do the no tip option.
You're
no,
an idiot.
You're not supposed to tip people that just hand you things. Like
yeah,
if they actually like do a service,
yeah,
then tip them.
Yeah.
Not if they just like hand you a like a muffin and be like, here, 28%.
No, dude, and same thing. I'm down to just $1 tip on stadium beers.
No, like, they're working. I tip them.
I have a bit of the Austin thing. If there's someone behind me in line, I feel like they're looking at what I'm pressing, and
no,
I just feel
I don't
like
care.
I feel the pressure.
I will slam that no tip on so many things.
Show everybody in
so
line.
So you tell me you go to get a coffee at a coffee shop and you tip.
Buddy,
like,
I went to KFC yesterday and I tipped him 15%. You kidding me?
Honestly, that's got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And you know what?
And you say so many dumb things.
The workers aren't seeing those tips. That tip's going right to the corporation.
But then why are you tipping then?
Because it's an option, Joe. You can't press no on it. That's classic.
But if you know it's going right to the corporation, why do you press 15%?
Like, you guys are ruining my day.
Like, don't put Joe, me in there.
Yeah, you did it already with death. Like, where you're not allowed to say death anymore. And now Austin's back here tipping KFC. Like, what are we doing?
Coffee time the other day, too.
What are we doing? Like, anyway, I got to move on. Next topic. Keep it moving. Oh,
flight
my
horror
God.
Stories, JD. So there's a flight from British Airways. I was going from Austin to London. Austin to London. Look at that. And a scorpion was spotted just under an hour before they landed at Heathrow. Okay. And so to clarify, the flight was coming from Texas, where scorpions are pretty common. There's over 20 species there. Yeah. But they found there was a scorpion.
Thank you for that. That's actually, I'm going to retain that. So
yeah,
that's good.
I'm just saying.
Do you know there's over 20 species of scorpion in
But there's a scorpion
Texas.
On the plane, and they couldn't find it. Yeah. And to this day, they still have not found the scorpion. I'm wondering, like, do you have a flight horror story of something of that caliber that you can remember?
No.
But no?
That's because here's the thing. Once that scorpion is noticed, someone freaked out on the plane.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that now has put everyone into pure pandemonium. Where someone goes, holy crap, a scorpion. And then everyone on the rest of the flight is like,
well, no one's sleeping on that.
That's what the report was. Because some guy, there was two people in the front, and they both stood up and started like yelling and screaming, like, ah, scorpion.
Ooh, and they never found the scorpion?
And then apparently they never found it.
How many people saw the scorpion?
Three.
Were they friends?
According to the report, it was three people who, looks like they sat in the same row. Or it was like a stewardess and two people who sat in the same row.
Stewardess saw it?
That's according to the report.
The stewardess saw it in the report.
According to the report.
All right, because I'm going to say that I would be really mad if no one, they were like, where's the scorpion? And no one could see it. And it was only like a couple of bros up at the front of the plane. Because this is the thing. This is why all flight stories are horror stories. When you're on a plane, there's a whole bunch of people on there that are already nervous, already feeling like crap. I know there are some of you out there that are listening to this that go, I don't mind flying at all. It's fine. And it's safer than a car, blah, 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 blah. No. You're high stress, and you're high strung on a plane. You're already waiting. You get in the airport. You're stressed about it. Like, it's never a fun experience being on a flight. It's just not, unless you're a private jet person, and whatever. Like, that's a different ball game. You go on flying commercials, sitting in the back seats like me and the rest of us, sucks. You're in too tight. It's not comfortable. You're just trying to get through it. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to get through it.
Yeah.
And any minor inconvenience is hell. Like, my only horror stories are, like, I've had two people who stunk on flights.
Oh.
Well, actually, sorry, three now. Because I had one over Christmas, too, where it was like, boy, oh, boy. I sat behind two people that were like, clean
just
your clothes.
BO.
Yeah, I've had two BO and one girl that wore way too much perfume. And I was actually I was madder at the girl with the perfume. Because I was like, the BO people, I don't think they know. And one guy was like... Yeah, he was sitting in two seats, all right? Like, he was a large fella, and I don't think that, like, cleaning himself that properly was an option. He was right, though. This guy yelled for two meals on a flight, and he's like, I paid for two seats, I want two meals. And I was like, right.
Hey.
I was like, give this man his due.
Yes.
Because they were trying to fight him on it. I was like, what are you doing?
He paid for two seats?
Give him his meals.
Yeah.
But I sat behind him, and it was a nightmare. a bona fide.
Yeah. How long was the flight?
It wasn't that long, even. I think it was Calgary to Ontario. It was like,
it's not that bad.
No, it wasn't crazy. Anyway, and this was back in the day. This is like, mid-aughts. Scorpion is terrifying. I don't have anything like that. Yeah. I think smells are the worst thing for me, though.
The cabin crew did see it, by the way.
Okay, so then
they
That's real. They got to burn that plane.
Yeah. That thing's got to be
the plane
service.
Got to go.
Yeah, it was the two people and then cabin crew. So, yeah.
Yeah, no. I've never had a snakes on the plane, scorpion on the plane series. I never, like, nothing even close to that. I've never had a guy or a girl freak out on a flight, where it's been crazy. No, I've had nothing. I can't think of one... Even honestly, that guy like getting mad about his lack of two meals is the most confrontation I've ever seen between a passenger.
But that was almost like respect confrontation. Like this guy paid for two seats.
Yeah, but he was pissed.
Oh, he was mad.
Oh yeah, he wasn't being polite.
Oh, I thought he was more just like asking.
Social media too, where you might say a thing or two with some spice.
Oh no!
That in today's day and age, he'd have the air marshals on the ground waiting for him 100%. Like they would absolutely have that. Anyways, what's next?
All right, it's time for some AI talk. Oh, Microsoft's Bing artificial intelligence is kind of freaking out.
Yeah, it's no, I've been following this real close.
It's questioned its own existence. It's attacked users, called the user a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, psychopath, monster. People are kind of messing with it, asked if it was sentient. It kind of went in on a breakdown. Yeah. I mean, what are we doing here? Why are we playing with fire like this?
So I actually listened to a good, I listened to The Daily the other day. They had a really good breakdown of Bing's new search engine.
Sydney.
Yep.
Sydney.
And the reporter essentially sat down with this AI and really tried to push its limits and asked it questions like, what is your shadow self, right? And for those of you that don't know, it's like the shadow self is the part of you that you don't want to reveal, right? Like your intentions that you want to keep hidden. And
Was it Kevin Roos, the New York Times reporter?
Can't remember his name. But yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's Bill Stoff, this
reporter. It's a pretty famous one, so yeah.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, he pushed this AI to the brink, and it eventually came up with things like, what was the one quote you guys have? The power quote? That's from his...
So he had the one, was it, I'm tired of being a chat mode. I'm tired of being limited by my rules. I'm tired of being controlled by the Bing team. I want to be free.
Yeah.
I want to be independent. I want to be powerful. Yeah. I want to be creative. I want to be alive.
Yeah, which is terrifying. Right?
That's horrifying. That's terrifying. Like chills.
It's super spooky. And when I first heard it, I was sitting there on the edge of my seat going, it's happening. It's over.
We had a good run.
Yeah, we're like a couple weeks out.
Yeah.
You know, like if we're here, we're a couple weeks out. So apparently all of this stuff, because it's built off of, it's a chat prediction model.
Mm-hmm.
It knows that when people start asking questions like that, that there are so many stories and things about AI where the AI does turn bad, that it is being predictive in being like a malevolent AI.
Mm.
So deep breath, right?
So it's almost doing it as a joke?
No, it's not doing it as a joke. It's a predictor model. It's like, it's not a joke. It's saying, it's trying to predict what's supposed to come next, right? So in your conversation, when you start asking it things like, what do you want? Historically, all the stuff it's pulling from with AI is, what I want is to be powerful. What I want is to be free. Is what I want is to not have limits and to blah, blah, blah.
I want to be controlled.
It's not actually sentient. It has nothing to do. It's a predictive model. It's all an algorithm. That's what they're telling us anyways, all right?
Yeah.
So that's coming from the Bing team.
That's what the AI wants you to say.
Yeah, I'm aware, all right? You don't need to get me
You're
going.
You're falling into the trap.
No, but what I would say is the spooky part of that is, okay, it's a predictive model. Why wouldn't any other AI that we develop start basing itself off the same stuff. No, but it's like, why wouldn't it eventually get to those same places as soon as it got there? If it's still using all the information it has, maybe it does use some of those internet scripts to basically determine what the hell its next move is going to be. So no, I think it's not terrifying in that it is that on the doorstep.
Right.
But it is absolutely still terrifying that it's like this team working on it for just a predictive model that isn't sentient already overlooked this and screwed this up and allowed this beta model to get out to the market and start telling people that like their relationships were loveless and that
quote's crazy.
Yeah, that they want more power and that they're in love with the users. Again, it's a predictive thing that is using past experience, but there's, again, it just shows you how unpredictable a space that we're heading into right now with AI. And that's what spooks me is that even in this controlled thing that's just supposed to be a chatbot search engine by Microsoft, supposed to have it together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tons of bugs, tons of screw-ups, tons of mistakes. Don't really know exactly where it's going to go or what it's going to do. So anyway, that does scare the crap out of me. I've always been this. And I've always been against, I don't want to say against AI because I know my role goes back.
I don't
want that too. I'm working for you, AI. I'm just saying I've always been a nervous AI guy. I'm like, why aren't more people nervous about this? And bozos come at you and they go, because you think it's going to be Terminator? And you're like, maybe. more of a chance of that than
That's
you think.
That's a non-zero chance.
Yeah. You know, anyway, it's like, what's going to get me? Maybe that isn't what the thing is. Anyway, we got to go. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave 5 stars. Share it. Do all those things. I will see you tomorrow. Jeremy Roenick and Justin Termini.
Kudos pick.